One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
In late April, a charismatic pastor from South Carolina made a sudden announcement at the end of his sermon. His wife was dead. The internet began questioning his strange delivery, and her loved ones began speaking out about the man of God's twisted past. Receipts show this picture-perfect couple was anything but the truth about the pastor and what he did to his wife is still being revealed. He denies everything, but with each passing day, the evidence mounts. This week's episode is Micah Miller, The Case So Far, Part 1.
A bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinisterhood.
I'm gonna kill you.
Well, the amount of times we've said this is like the Murdoch case over and over again, because it really does feel like every day something new unfolds in this case. It's hard
to even
keep
up. And there's so many players, and each player, well, really, mainly JP's father, but he's got his whole set of issues and stuff that I think is going to come out in the wash too. But things just, I mean, you can't keep up fast enough. Even, you know, like, that's why this is so far, because this case is developing so fast, and every day things come out and things are, a lot more stuff's going to happen because he hasn't been charged with anything. So all of that stuff, if it does happen, is going to, you know, so there's a lot further to go, but we've tried to condense everything possible, and this doesn't even cover all of it into one episode, but there will certainly be a part two and probably more than that. But this is such a sad case, and one that, much like the Murdochs, I feel like it's kind of taken the internet by storm. It's, you know, everyone knows about it and is talking about it, and it highlights a lot of problems within our society.
I definitely agree. And content warning, there's discussions of coercive control, every type of abuse that you could suffer, both in a relationship with a spouse as well as in a relationship with a pastor. So content warning on that, as well as brief, I won't say brief, repeated discussions and mention of suicide and claims of threats and things like that. So just
as well several mentions of child sexual abuse as well.
Yes. So it's keep that in mind. Yeah, as you listen. Yeah, it really is. And so, and like you said, we've had to break it up into two parts only because as more and more comes out, we're like, well, we cover these things in chronological order. And before even the inciting incident that got the internet to even look at this case, there is decades of stuff to cover. And so that's what part one today will cover, is the decades and decades that this family, it sounds like, has been entrenched in South Carolina religious, kind of the South Carolina religious scene and the community. And it's like with Alec Murdoch, when you have a lot of money, you have power. In this case, when you have, I guess, that you're the pastor, you're
still
the
power. Yeah.
It's power. Yeah. It's
and
a
money.
Kind of power.
I mean, they definitely, people are paying.
It's a rich church.
Tithing and whatnot. Yeah. But. For sure. It reminds me so much of the Murdoch case. One thing, too, that was interesting that I found out through my research, as far as the types of churches, I didn't realize, in addition to like evangelical, what they refer to as JP and his father being are charismatic mm-hmm. pastors and charismatic churches, and even how there was like kind of a war at the time between evangelical churches and charismatic churches. So I found that that was interesting that they compartmentalize those two, that there's a difference in them. But when you think of charismatic, I was like, oh, kind of like Righteous Gemstones, which might be also evangelical. I don't know where the line is drawn where you go from, maybe it's snakes and speaking in tongues mm-hmm. and whatnot from one to the other. But you'll see a lot of similarities of cults in general when it comes to his type of preaching.
Most definitely. And yeah, that charismatic where I think it is that speaking in tongues and having that cultish pastor, you know, where it all comes back to this one pastor. And so like father like son, as we get into this South Carolina mess, before we, I mean, we're not going to be, we'll be close to this. We'll be in North Carolina this upcoming week. So too bad we're unfortunately not going to be able to stay long enough to go down and see any of this, but I've seen a ton of journalists are on the scene down in South Carolina. So we'll just be a little bit further north on tour doing something a little bit more fun.
Yeah, a lot more fun. So if you are in the North Carolina area and you want to come out and see our full moon energy show, we've already been in Charlotte. We were there last night when you're going to hear this. So it was a fabulous show. Thank you, everyone, for coming out to Charlotte. It was great. But tonight, as you're hearing this, June 12th in Raleigh, we will be in Raleigh. So if you're in the area, go to sinisterhood.com/live shows to get tickets to our Full Moon Energy Tour. The Full Moon Energy Show, it's just our touring show. We don't release it on the main feed. So the only place you will hear it is live. And what will they hear about, Heather?
Oh, we talk about all of the darker side of the moon, what it does to us, what's lurking up there, and the truth about what really happened during the Apollo missions, if it happened at all. Come find out at Full Moon Energy. And if you want to get your own tickets, go to sinisterhood.com/live shows. We're going to a couple other places this summer, and we might be coming to a city near you.
Yeah, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Toronto, Kansas City, Oklahoma City, San Diego, Phoenix, Las Vegas, and Dallas. We're going to be hitting all of those cities. So for details, dates, times, venues, and more, visit sinisterhood.com/live shows.
And this today we're putting on our serious investigator hats, and definitely felt like I was back in law school doing an issue spotting exam, like where it's like, this pastor did this and this and this thing. And I'm like, oh, that's that kind of crime and that's that kind of crime. So everybody, as we kick into the beginning of this saga, perk your ears up, because there's quite a few things mentioned that I think we'll start this off by saying John Paul Miller has not been charged with any crimes against Micah Miller and vehemently denies all allegations. So for legal purposes, we got to throw that out there.
Yes, he has claimed that. That is a fact. That he has claimed that he had nothing to do with it is a fact.
He has said it. I heard him say it. A true thing is that I heard him say it.
Yes, I have heard him say that, as have the entire internet, but trash takes itself out.
Yeah.
The truth comes out in the wash. What we do in the dark comes out in the light. I could keep going on and on, but... And
you're not wrong.
Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get into it. John Paul Miller was born in 1980 in Florence, South Carolina. His father, Wayne Miller, was a televangelist, founder of a Bible college in South Carolina, and pastor of one of the state's most prominent charismatic churches. From the beginning of his ministry to present, Wayne Miller has faced a multitude of charges, including fraud and multiple counts of sexual abuse of a minor. In later years, JP claimed that his father also sexually abused him when he was a child.
And that's what, when we say kind of this South Carolina church royalty, Wayne was like interviewed in the news. He had a show called Good Morning Jesus. If somebody wanted to have a talking head on a news program about the charismatic church as a whole, they would call Wayne Miller. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, he was doing all kinds of fucking terrible stuff behind the scenes. Two of his churches, two of them burned down. Two of them. That's a lot of churches to burn
down. One is weird. Two is Real
interesting.
Weird. That's real weird.
How sad yeah. for them. I mean, truly, because it's like, anyway. And then on top of that, he was charged federally for labor violations for
yeah.
threatening immigrants and paying them only $25 a week to work for him for hours and hours, both at home and at his church. So just kind of a monster, a piece of shit.
Terrible person, by all accounts, an abuser through and through, which, like you said a minute ago, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Mm-hmm.
Susan Miller, ex-wife of Wayne, stated in divorce filings that Wayne regularly beat up JP. Susan said Wayne excused this behavior, quoting a verse from the Bible.
Spare the rod, spoil the child.
Later, when he preached sermons of his own, John Paul would often speak about his childhood, saying that his family
put the funk in dysfunctional.
Susan also stated in her filings that she had discovered Wayne had sexually abused young male parishioners at his church.
Yeah, and those are pretty damning divorce filings that came out. She said, you know, her world was crumbling when she found all this out, as it would be, especially because, disturbingly, Wayne also had created this cathedral Bible college. And then on that campus of that Bible college, there was a K-12 school. So then Mm-mm. you start to have the church, and then you try. It's like, what are all these funnels of victims I can have? And for victims, yeah. both financially and also for the abuse part of it. And these are allegations from the 80s, 90s, et cetera, that have resurfaced now recently with some parishioners at a church in Pakistan who claim that Wayne has misappropriated funds and had inappropriate sexual relationships with parishioners there, like as recently as last August.
I believe in her filing, Susan also stated that there was one night where she woke up and couldn't find Wayne, and then she went searching around the house and found him locked in another bedroom with a young male parishioner. It mm-hmm. wasn't clear what the age was exactly, but suffice it to say, most of the people he abused were minors.
Yeah, and he also was the subject of a television report, like a 5-part television news report where people were speaking out against him and they had to like blur their faces and everything. I mean, it wasn't just, there were rumblings. It was like, this is a known, noted, reported mm-hmm. thing. And then to have his son emerge out of this.
Yeah, and also abusing his own son under their roof as well.
Mm-hmm.
During his teenage years, John Paul, who also goes by JP, spent a lot of time playing piano in both nightclubs and church, according to the official church website for Solid Rock Ministries. The same site quotes JP as saying that he always
thought church was for fake people who were one way in public and another way behind closed doors. So well, that's how you treat it.
That sounds like he's speaking from experience. Yeah, that's one thing I won't argue with him about as far as the way he perceives all of this.
He is a person who repeatedly has told on himself and will repeatedly tell on himself. And yeah. I think I will put it, mark the date, mark the time, come back to this timestamp in 18 months, 2 years, 3 years, when he stands trial for at least the first of probably 2 or 3 trials. I believe that he'll stand trial. He will be hoisted on his own petard. I think it will be his own words that will be used against him, whether it's text, video, etc. He's just too... He just tells on himself too much, and he thinks he's too smart, and he's much less smart than he thinks he is.
In 1997, JP had a son named Logan with a woman named Lena Hardy. Just a year later, he pleaded no contest to assault and battery in Horry County, North Carolina. Reports reveal JP struck a woman with his vehicle twice at high speed, driving around 100 yards with her on the hood. The victim's name is not included in the public record, so it is unclear if Hardy was the victim or if it was a different woman. At the time of the assault, JP allegedly had black tape on his license plate to hide his identity. For this crime, JP received 500 hours of community service, several years of probation, and a 4-year suspended sentence. In 2022, South Carolina pardoned him for this, allowing him to buy a gun.
He wrote on the application that it was his prerogative as a father and a pastor and a husband that he needed to protect himself and his family. So he thought he should be forgiven for running down a woman with a car twice and driving the length of a football field with her on the front of it.
Yeah, according to his account, she jumped on the car and was refused to get off and was coming at him. But, you know, somebody's got a car and one person's just standing there. So somebody seems like they probably have a lot more power and dangerous ways of hurting someone than the other.
Absolutely. And I'll reiterate the word twice. He hit her twice. Yeah.
Again, much like with your churches burning down. One time, it could be an accident. Two times, that raises some red flags.
Should be an investigation.
By 2000, JP had married Allison Williams, or Allie, a nail technician at a local day spa. That year, JP found himself in legal trouble again, this time in Illinois, where he pleaded guilty to aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Information related to the victim or motive is not available. In 2004, in the same state, JP faced another charge, this time for domestic battery, according to Law and Crime. For undisclosed reasons, the prosecutors chose not to move forward with the case.
Most often you see that if a victim recants and decides not to.
Yeah. It doesn't mean they did not have evidence, but yeah. A victim could be coerced into retracting their statement or threatened into doing so. Mm-hmm. So just because prosecutors don't move forward with a case doesn't mean that they don't have the evidence to. Mm-hmm. Following in his father's footsteps, JP founded his own church, Solid Rock Ministries, in 2006. He delivered his first sermon at the local library to an audience of
his family, a few friends, and several former drug-related acquaintances.
During their marriage, JP and Allie had four children and worked together for over 10 years at the church. Unbeknownst to Allie, while they were married, JP had multiple affairs and sexually abused numerous minors that attended Solid Rock. One of these minors was Micah Miller, who began attending Solid Rock with her family when she was just 14 years old. Micah Acacia Francis was born March 7, 1994, in Wichita, Kansas, to Michael Francis and Angelita Ramirez. At an early age, Micah discovered her passion for music, sharing her beautiful voice and songwriting talents with anyone who would listen. The official Justice for Micah GoFundMe page says,
Micah was a beacon of positivity and lit up the room with her confident, joyful presence. Her radiant personality and beautiful voice made an impact on many lives of those who crossed her path.
On News Nation, her sister Destiny said,
Micah was so full of life. She was funny and energetic, someone who just lit up every room that she walked into.
She was very loved by all that knew her. Even truly. Looking at pictures of her online, despite the pain that in hindsight we know she was going through at the time, she always tried to have a smile on her face and was just a beautiful, beautiful girl who had her whole life ahead of her. And more of her life was spent under the oppressive thumb of JP than it wasn't at the time of her death.
Yeah, when you do the math, it's heartbreaking to go, you never got an adulthood. You never got to be a grown-up. You got this stolen from you by a person that you trusted that was your pastor. It's horrifying. And yeah, her best friend Charlotte Korn said, you know, I was lucky to be her friend. She said, basically anybody, it was just you felt lucky to know her because she would bend over backwards to help you do. If you said, my dream is to do blah, 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 she's like, we'll figure out how to do it. Let's find a person. And she was that giving to everybody and that giving, giving, giving. When you find a taker, 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 that's when you kind of see the life get sucked out of them.
Yeah.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.com. KSI.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
In 2010, Micah, her siblings, and her mom and stepdad moved to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. 3 years later, when Micah was 14, the family joined Solid Rock Ministries, where JP was Micah's youth pastor. According to later statements provided to police by Micah, it was at this time JP began grooming her and showing a romantic interest in her, despite him being 27 years old and married to Allie at the time. 27 to 14 is not... It's not right. It's not legal. It's not right, which is an understatement. What, you're a freshman in high school and somebody that's nearly 30
breathing down
is
the
taking
neck
an
30?
Interest to you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Showing a sexual interest in you. Just, it's too much for any 14-year-old to handle. How does anyone cope with something like that?
No. And it seems that's his age. And an ex-girlfriend of his has come out publicly and said when he was 19 and she was 15, they dated. And she said, well, I thought, you know, I'm 15. He's 19. She says, obviously, as an adult now, I'm like, no, that's not right. And then when you see the spread lengthen and lengthen and lengthen and lengthen, yeah, that 14-year age gap is significant. And it matters, especially when you are wanting to find somebody that you can control.
Mm-hmm. It was around 2 years later when Micah's dad, noticing concerning behavior from the church leadership, pulled the family from the church. Micah's sister Anna told Fitz News.
That's whenever JP started isolating Micah, was when our family left the church.
Despite her family leaving the congregation, Micah continued attending.
At JP's encouragement.
Apparently. Oh, yeah. I mean, he was definitely trying to isolate her and already had his claws in her, which I'm going to say, of course, JP is 100% culpable in all of this. A lot of the other church leadership is culpable, in my opinion, as well.
Oh.
There was a ton of people that were, quote unquote, leaders there, his own personal spiritual mentor, as well as tons of people. At one point, the congregation included 700 people, and so many of them knew what was going on. Sometimes they would offer their support or help, but many just looked the other way because that was the message that was preached at this church, was that women are their husband's property, and their job is to serve their husband and be a wife and a mother and
help
not argue mate. Or speak up about anything.
Mm-mm, you have to be a helpmate. Helpmates help their husbands. They don't go against them, even when their husband are sex predators, because, and especially when their husband will violently beat the shit out of you. So, he kind of had everybody, especially as the founder of the church as well, and sort of going, I'm kind of in charge here, so what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, they had these leaders in place, but it was very well known that he made all the decisions.
Mm-hmm.
In 2012, when Micah was just 18, she married fellow Solid Rock congregant Jeremy Dees. As pastor, JP officiated the ceremony. Court documents refer to Jeremy as
JP's right-hand man.
As the newlyweds both worked at the church, Allie, JP's wife at the time, noted that Jeremy and Micah became very close to the family. Allie taught Micah to drive, provided guidance and advice, and worked with both Micah and Jeremy in the church. The grooming that Micah alleged began 4 years earlier as a youth group member didn't stop, even though she was married. JP found ways to spend time with Micah, including through their work with the church's music ministry. A source close to Jeremy told the Daily Mail,
JP had a way of taking over someone else's mind. Micah and Jeremy would spend a lot of time at the Miller's house with Allie and JP rehearsing the music for the church. Seemed kind of suspicious that they'd always be hanging out, always together. He always had them around. It was like JP did it underhandedly to subliminally get into her mind. And others said that JP would say, oh, Jeremy, you've got to go to this other city, drive like this several hours away, or go on this trip. And then to Micah go, I can't believe he leaves you here all by yourself. Mm-hmm. So lonely
just
by yourself.
Just gaslighting.
Like,
induced gaslighting. You're yes, creating the situation that yes, you then turn around and gaslight her about.
That yeah, is like psychopathy, where it's like you were at a funeral, you're at your father's funeral, and then someone shows up and they're handsome. Well, what do? Well, then you kill your mother so that they'll show up to the funeral as well. It's like, no, no, don't do that. That's only what a psychopath thinks. To say, how do I get this girl alone? I'll lure her husband away from her.
Any means necessary. In an affidavit filed last month, JP's ex-wife, Allie, recounted a tumultuous period at Solid Rock in 2015. She discovered JP was cheating on her with Micah. Following the unearthing of this betrayal, Allison filed for divorce from JP on September 14, 2015. That same year, Micah and Jeremy got divorced. JP not only confessed to the affair with Micah, but also admitted to having affairs with sex workers and having inappropriate relationships with underage female church members. He blamed his behavior on sexual abuse he suffered from his father, Wayne Miller. When Allie reported the child abuse to the police, they dismissed her claims, telling her that because of JP's status as a well-known pastor and their ongoing divorce, no one would believe the claims unless the victims came forward. Sadly, the victims of JP's abuse were too scared to come forward themselves.
I realize this is 2015. I realize it is a more conservative, smaller area. But my God, if someone says there is a serial sex abuser in my church, I don't care if it's his ex-wife. I don't fucking look into it.
Yeah, it definitely seems like a good old boy network where you don't want to rock the boat. Maybe you're in the same boat. Maybe some people are scratching each other's backs. I don't know. But
yeah. Oh, I didn't think about that.
To have someone say to you, say to a police officer, multiple children have been abused by this man, and they say, well, unless those kids come forward, we can't really do anything about it. That is not at all how this should work.
Not at all. No. God, I didn't think about what I just figured. Oh, you know, they go to the church, they like him, but there could be alternative motives for not wanting to break up a person that is. She alleged, Allie, I believe, was that JP was given a special badge or some sort of identification that was like a pastor badge, that if he ever got pulled over, he could show it to basically be like, I'm good, right?
Pastors aren't immune from the law.
No, that's not a thing, but it sounds like they made it up. You know, it's like that's something a good old boy network does, of like, we got you. In case one of the new guys pulls you over, just pull this out.
According to a statement provided to police by Allie, leaders at Solid Rock attempted to make JP step down from his role in the church and seek counseling. JP refused, telling the fellow leaders he had
100% decision-making authority at Solid Rock. And it's not just that that happened. He lied to everyone, according to her affidavit, and said, I have these new bylaws. Look, you guys can all vote. We're all equals. And then when they finally said, okay, well, those bylaws said we can all vote, he's like, oh, I never signed those. They don't exist. You have no power. I am fully in charge.
Well, I wouldn't want to be a part of a place that made me feel that way, but it's certainly telling that when push comes to shove and he's told, you got to do something about these illegal activities, he's like, nah. And then everyone stays. Not everyone.
Yes.
A lot of people stayed. Some people did leave. Some people saw the writing on the wall and were like, we're getting out of here. Again, you would hope that the police department would see that and it would help the case that Allie is trying to present, but that is not what happened.
No, she said it splintered the church and that a good portion of people left, but you're right, like a contingent of people were like, it's cult-like. When you're just obsessed with him, he would never do that. She's making it up.
One of the quotes I read from a parishioner who eventually did leave, but not for a long time, said one reason he did not go forward to the police with the things he had heard about the abuse was that he was also a registered sex offender for a abuse of a child when he was in the military. And so, you know, if you know that your pastor is doing things like that, and you know that you did stuff like that, I'm sure there's some comfort in finding people that are like-minded that aren't going to judge you for what you're doing because they are also doing it themselves.
Yeah, and I imagine if you said, I think I'm going to go report you, pastor, the pastor would be like, I'm going to tell him you were around kids too, and you're on the registry. And then, you know, it's like, now I have something over you. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's who you want in the leadership of your church.
During their divorce, JP allegedly harassed and stalked Allie, moving in across the street, pouring salt on her trees to kill them, and following her to work and church, according to court records. To protect herself and her children, Allie settled the divorce, with JP agreeing to daytime-only visits with their daughter due to his admitted child molestation. In text messages, JP later tried to break this arrangement and have overnight visits as his daughter approached age 13.
And that's the fucked up thing is that Allie had this rule, which is in place, and she didn't tell the kids why. She's just like, you just don't sleep over there. And then JP, of his own accord, told the daughter, when you turn 13, maybe mom's heart will change and you and I can finally have a sleepover. And the mom has to text back and go, no, it doesn't matter. The age, that's not it. It's never happening.
Also, mom's now the villain. Mom's the bad guy if she doesn't let it happen.
And she said, and now I'm going to have to tell them you molested a bunch of kids and that's why you can't. And he's like, I would never hurt my own child in a million years. Cool, cool, cool. So just someone else's.
But also, bullshit. Why would I believe that? I don't think that, call me crazy, but if someone's willing to do that to a child, I don't think their own child is off limits. Is it possible that they wouldn't harm their own child? Yeah. But is it possible they would? 100%. At the very least, you're aware that your ex-husband finds that age sexually attractive and has had sexual relations with minors of that age. How could you then send your daughter of that same age over there and not just worry yourself into a frenzy? Even if nothing happened, the fact that he could look at her with those same eyes is enough to be like, nah. Never.
Yeah.
Not a million years.
No, and he didn't do much in the text to quell her fears, being like, it doesn't matter what time of the day her visits are. She's here regardless. And it's like, please don't say things like that. Yeah. So,
but also,
Allie was 100% right.
That is true also. And
gross.
If I knew that my husband had done all of those things, I would not be letting my kids go anywhere near him. I don't care what time of the day it is.
Yeah, you feel bad for her because it sounded like, I believe in South Carolina, if you do a no-fault divorce, you have to wait for a year to do a divorce. Or you can say it is a fault divorce due to physical cruelty or due to infidelity or whatever. But it has to essentially be brought out in a trial. And it seems to me like Allie was like, for the safety of my kids. I mean, he's like coming and following her. She's going through a Peggy Klinky type like stalking situation of like popping up places, her trees dying or whatever. And it was like, okay, we're just going to say it was no fault just so that we can, it can be peaceful for the kids because I've seen what he's capable of. And you just like got to have been backed up against such a wall to have to make that choice and go, okay.
Yeah, but you're also capable of seeing what he did to kids. And your kids only have you to defend them. So they're too young to say in a court of law, they don't want to go over there. So I understand your back's against a wall, but that includes being the one person that will stand up for your kids to try and do what's right.
And I think Micah, having been their nanny, I think was a little bit of help, emotional help to go, well, at least Micah's there.
Yeah. For the Micah's mom. There. Sleeping with her husband.
Yeah.
Not of her own accord. She's also being abused, you know?
Sinisterhood will be right back.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.com. SI.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
After years of grooming and an affair, JP and Micah married secretly before staging a public ceremony in November of 2017 at Solid Rock. According to Micah's later attorney, Regina Ward, JP had convinced Micah they first needed a wed in secrecy in order for him to be her caretaker for her after her breast augmentation surgery, a procedure Micah underwent at the insistence of JP.
I had heard her dad say he forced her to have a surgery, and then when pressed to elaborate, her dad said, you know, I don't want to elaborate on it, but he forced her to do it. And that's such a phrase to say I bet he did.
Oh, yeah. It reminds me of that, not the main guy from Tiger King, but the other one that was on that documentary that also forced one of his employees that he was abusing to have breast augmentation surgery because he thought it would bring in more customers. Yeah, anytime someone is making anybody do something to their body they don't want to, undergoing a major surgery like that, one, it's you're telling that person, I don't really like you the way you are, so you got to change in order to please me. Mm-hmm. And then a major surgery is very hard on you emotionally, physically, and everything. And she was forced to do it.
Yeah. And then the aftermath. Yeah.
After the surgery, Micah allegedly had an adverse reaction to the anesthesia. JP claimed her behavior was so odd that she had to be committed to a mental hospital. It wasn't until Micah's family attempted to visit her in the hospital that they learned of her marriage to JP. When they arrived, JP refused to let them see her, an authority he had since he convinced Micah to give him power of attorney over her healthcare decisions. Having Micah committed to psychiatric hospitals against her will would become an abusive pattern for JP.
That's what her family said. It just happened little by little over a period of time until you show up to the hospital one day and it's like, surprise, we're secretly married. And it's like, the youth pastor from 10 years ago, from however long ago when we brought her there as a child, has now taken her as his own bride. Like, this is a living fucking nightmare for this family.
Oh, yeah. It's a living nightmare for her, too.
Yeah.
After her release, Micah called the police on at least 5 different occasions to report JP's ongoing abuse. At the same time, JP made an accusation of his own when he told police that Micah was stealing from the church. That case was closed after Micah proved the allegations were false. In an interview with News Nation, Micah's father, Michael Francis, and one of her sisters, Destiny, described to Ashley Banfield how Micah changed during her marriage to JP. Her father explained,
he sucked the life right out of her and caused her to go downhill.
Michael claimed JP forced the surgery on Micah against her will. Destiny said that her sister changed during her marriage with JP, becoming more withdrawn the longer they were together.
And the really egregious thing was that JP would then talk about these episodes publicly in the sermon and would say several times, the first 3 weeks of me and Micah's marriage, you know, she was locked up in a mental facility. It's like just putting it out there.
He spilled their tea, which was not even real. He's making up these things about her and having her committed. But then, yeah, using that against her in front of hundreds of people, that she is also attending this church. She knows all these people. She leads the women's ministry. She sings all the time. So she's very entrenched and is friends with a ton of these people. And then every Sunday he gets up there and tells them how she's struggling mentally. She's unwell. She's unfit. Blah, blah, blah. She should be on lithium. I mean, just stuff that is nobody's business. And he's using it against her. And also to paint this picture of, she's so unstable. She's suicidal. Don't believe anything she says. Mm-hmm. She's crazy.
Mm-hmm. You can't trust what comes out of her mouth. You can't believe it. And to be fair, every single family member I've seen interviews with, her parent, her dad, And all of her, multiple of her sisters, everybody said she did not have mental health issues until she met JP. She never had struggled with depression. She never mentioned that she had any signs, symptoms, complaints, never was medicated, never anything. And suddenly JP forces her to have a breast augmentation. And he's like, she's got bipolar. I've decided she's got bipolar.
JP had worked to isolate Micah from her family from the very start. Destiny told News Nation that JP continually texted Micah when she was a teen, helped her get a car, gave her fake stories to use to get her away from her family, and found church families for Micah to stay with. That isolation extended into her adulthood and their marriage. Micah's immediate family knew they could not bring up JP in any negative light, or they would be cut off from their sister. Multiple family members used the word
brainwashed
to describe Micah's perspective on JP.
And he was always around. Like, if they tried to have, hey, we're going to have, like, a sister lunch, he'd be like, okay, I'll be there. And they're like, oh, you were not invited to that.
Don't think you're a sister. He's also been grooming her and in her life since she was 14 years old. So at this point, he's so entrenched that it's, if you know that if you bring anything up, you're going to lose contact with her. At the same time, you're well aware that he's abusing her. Mm-hmm. So again, it's like, well, what do you do? I mean, you would feel like your hands were tied, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. So everybody was like, we just tried to do whatever we could to keep that line open because we always wanted to be a safe space for her to come back to.
Her sister, Anna, explained to Fitz News how JP would keep constant control over Micah's life via her cell phone. The sisters were close, going out to lunch weekly. JP would sometimes show up at lunch unannounced and uninvited. Micah explained to her sister how JP could track her movement with her phone's location. Anna told Fitz News JP popping by unexpectedly happened
many times. And that's just so eerie that you're just thinking that you're having a regular day and then your abusive spouse shows up.
Yeah, I'm sure that it's uncomfortable for everyone there. It's, you know, with technology, you can find somebody's phone, share your location, whether she wanted to or not. I'm sure that wasn't a choice she got to make. But, you know, if he knows where she is at every moment of the day, just popping by, and it's just that continued abuse of letting someone know, I always know where you are, and I can always show up. You don't have any free time or time that is just for you. Like, I'm involved in every facet of your life, and you should know that.
Yeah, and it's like, you think you're having independence, but there's no such thing as independence. Mm-hmm.
Yes, you have no autonomy. In 2021, JP started having an affair with Susie Skinner, the mother of his children's soccer teammate. Her husband, Christopher Skinner, was an inspirational author who became paralyzed 2 decades prior. In early September of 2021, Christopher discovered his wife's affair with JP. According to court documents filed by Allie Williams, Christopher told JP to
stay away from my wife and kids.
2 weeks later, Christopher was at a community pool early in the morning, planning to meet someone to play chess, when his wheelchair went into the pool and he drowned in what authorities ruled was an accident.
I was able to see the police report, and he arrived at the pool, asked a neighbor to open it up for him, and entered the pool area at like 7:52 a.m., headed toward the chess set. He had his dog with him, but then he went around the pool with his dog. He stopped sort of at a curve at its edge when the police report said suddenly the wheelchair accelerated at a high rate of speed and fell into the pool at 7:56 a.m., I don't know if I was misreading the police report, but the police report seemed to indicate that the footage cut from 7:56 a.m. It stopped, and the footage didn't start again until an hour later when EMTs were on the scene performing life-saving measures.
As if someone had deleted an hour's worth of footage?
I don't know where the footage is, if there is footage from 7:56 on to 8:56, because I believe it was like discovered around 8:30, then the authorities had to come and all that. But within 4 minutes, he pulled into the pool area at 7:52, and by 7:56, it's like a strange sudden movement of the wheelchair that he ended up in the water.
I would think that the film before that would be the one to be erased.
I would also like to know who he was supposed to meet to play chess. Why was he told to meet there? Who was he meeting with? Mm.
Yeah, it's very sad for his children that he left two kids behind in what was ruled an accident. But I think this is something that is going to be perhaps reinvestigated with all of this other stuff coming out.
Yeah, he starts to give sort of a Gloria Satterfield feeling, you know, where it's like this isn't the first strange death that was mm-hmm. around it. For what it's worth, Susie Skinner claims to this day that she and JP are just friends. They are not dating and they never have, is what she claimed, despite the photos of them on dates together, which she said aren't dates. They're just dinners.
Yeah, dinners where you sit on the same side of the booth as the person that mm-hmm. isn't your husband and are real close and even days after a tragedy, just laughing it up
on
the same side of the booth.
Mm-hmm. And apparently sharing blankets and snacks together at the kids' soccer games in front of everyone. So that's what you do with people that you're just friends with and not dating.
I will be goddamned if I or Tommy ever share a blanket with someone at one of our kids' games of like.
That's not your spouse.
No. Or like a friend or something. But like, if I don't know. Like, it's what's wild is, okay, she says they're not having an affair. Okay. He said they were. So, you know, and so did Christopher. So I'm going to say, for argument's sake, they were having an affair. Mm-hmm. At that point, you're not even trying to hide it. Like, you're correct. Going out to lunch and dinners by mm-hmm. yourself together. There's photos of that. You're sharing blankets at the soccer games. Like, it's as if...
Allegedly.
It's as if he and perhaps she just don't really give a fuck if people know. And I mean, I think that's kind of how he's lived his whole life. It's just, I do what I want. If people find out about it, nothing's going to happen. So what does it matter?
I'll figure out how to spin it, or I'll just cut them out and find a new congregation. Who cares? Mm-hmm. Fuck them. I'll do what I want.
The tumultuous relationship continued throughout the next few years. Text sent to JP by Micah's best friend, Charlotte Korn, revealed a distraught JP trying to track Micah down after she left him to separate. He used swear words at Charlotte, who had suggested Micah call in a wellness check for JP after he threatened suicide.
Charlotte said, she came to me going, he said he's going to kill himself. His blood's on my hands. What do I do? And Charlotte's like, well, what can you do? Like, you might just call a wellness check. Maybe police can. And then he writes to Charlotte, fucking bitch, call the cops on me. Like, whatever he wants to say. And, you know, for his lawyer said he's never abused anyone. Okay, well, he was convicted. So, yeah, he did. And then he would never. And I'm like, he's using abusive language towards women in these fucking messages. Yeah. Like, shut up. Either
text
say
her forever, you dipshit. Yes. How can you say he's never abused somebody? Like, it's there's a shit. Ton of proof.
Yes. As we're about, this is the beginning of the receipts. Y'all buckle the fuck up, because this is where it starts to be screenshot after screenshot after screenshot. And apparently he is a very prolific texter. Someone's like, he once texted 100 people in like 5 minutes. He's just like, because I think he has just this, like, I don't know if it's like an impulse or something, but he, like I said earlier, cannot shut the fuck up. And so a text message will hang him like this. That will be he's messaged something somewhere or said something somewhere. Because he's writing this stuff of like long messages of like, you're ruining my marriage. You could just see these like page long diatribes misspelled, THRU, the letter U, the number 2, just like complete chaos at her friend. And it's like, that's so crazy and embarrassing.
Yeah.
And he does it, I think, probably in part to embarrass her.
Oh, yeah. And one would think twice probably before going back to Charlotte and saying something, knowing this is what happened. You also would feel like, well, I said something, so now Charlotte's being abused and talked mm-hmm. to like this. So, which he is very good at gaslighting and placing the blame back on his victims. Like, well, you made me do this mm-hmm. type of attitude.
Right. And that's a good point, too, is that oftentimes when the abuser has beaten down the victim so much, they want to harm people close to them. And Micah did not have children. So is he going to then say, OK, I'm going to lash out at your friend then?
Mm-hmm. During one of JP and Micah's separations, JP dated an adult daughter from one of the families that attended Solid Rock. When confronted, he blamed his, quote, ungodly actions on bipolar disorders that were a result of his tumultuous marriage to Micah. The family ended up leaving the church, and JP faced zero consequences. A former member, who left the church a week after Micah's death, told the Post and Courier about the general feeling around the church.
The atmosphere was that if there was a problem, all you can really do is leave and leave quietly. Which is true, because parishioners that went to other churches, he would call the church and try to sabotage their new relationship at a new church, probably in case the parishioner went, yeah, I had to leave Solid Rock because JP was like openly cheating on his wife and he called one of the other ministers a fucking bitch in this text message I saw. So then before I get to the other church, JP would call and go, you know, Heather's crazy, by the way.
Yeah.
We actually had to kick her out of Solid Rock. If she says she left on her own, she actually... So he's purposely doing these actions to people who did nothing but leave his church. You can only imagine what he did whenever his wife did anything that displeased him. You saw like a tiny fraction of the abuse that these people who were just like literal bystanders suffered. And it was the same whenever the 2015 scandal happened. They said, well, forgiveness is part of Christianity, so you have to forgive us. You have to forgive me.
So is not cheating. I'm pretty sure that's one of the commandments, isn't it?
Yeah, and so is crucifixion. So let's get on that with him. Nope, just kidding. We save that for the good guys, I guess. I don't know. I don't know enough about religion. Cut that. Not really. Leave it in. It's fine. Sinister Hood will be right back.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Micah also stayed with her sister Sierra when she needed to escape JP's abuse. On one of these occasions, JP sent threatening texts to Sierra, including one that said he was going to show up at her front door, writing,
I'm armed. I'm ready. And he sent him on Snapchat, which shows me that he uses Snapchat, which makes me wonder if he thinks that those messages go away, which makes me want to say, hi, JP Miller. My name's Heather, and I'm going to teach you about the internet today. Those messages don't go away.
Nope. And he's, to me, that reads like it's pretty threatening. I'm armed. I'm ready. So you're showing up with a gun and you're ready to do what?
And she said, well, the police are on their way, so stay home. But it's like including this whole her whole family in it to almost make her feel like, oh, well, now my poor sisters are having to go through this.
Yeah.
I shouldn't even go to their house because it's dragging them into it.
If he makes it clear that he's willing to hurt friends, family, anyone, that's just more isolation and also more abuse to her of like, well, then I don't want to involve other people because I'm worried that they'll get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the abuse, Micah tried sticking it out. But according to journals obtained by her divorce attorney, things became too unbearable. In a list read aloud at a press conference, Micah's attorney, Regina Ward, described in general terms the types of abuse Micah was allegedly subjected to during their marriage. Ward described general emotional abuse, such as JP ignoring requests by Micah to leave her alone and go away. She alleged cruelty to pets, as well as destruction of property, including slashing tires and keying cars. Disturbingly, Ward also revealed that Micah's journals discussed technological abuse, including controlling a victim's car remotely, like the temperature and brakes. Text messages obtained by news outlets showed that JP would give Micah permission to do something or be on his property, then he would call police and report her for breaking the law. Regina Ward calls this misuse of law enforcement. As for physical cruelty, Ward claims Micah retained evidence of physical abuse that did not leave marks, including shoving her against walls, choking, and holding her down. Co-workers at the J. Peters restaurant, where Micah worked, told Magnolia Investigates that Micah often wore long-sleeve shirts at work to hide the bruises left on her by JP.
And Regina Ward gets to go in the Kathleen Zellner Lawyer Lady Hall of Fame because at this press conference where this information was revealed, she sort of said, these are just merely allegations from Micah's journals. JP denies them all. And then she listed over 16 things of specific types, and this is just a fraction of them. But what really stood out to me was like the idea of controlling someone's car while they're driving in it remotely. We don't think about that. When you have remote start, remote lock, remote whatever, someone else evil has that remote. That's terrifying.
Yeah, that somebody could just put on the brakes in the middle of you driving or
turn up the heat
to where you can't control it. And, you know, I mean, that's a form of abuse used even like by the government and, you know, interrogating terrorists and stuff. Right. Make people uncomfortable as hell till they finally break.
Right.
And again, it's showing even when you're not here, I'm with you.
Mm-hmm. No, it does. And it's just such a long list. And it shows it is every possible aspect of the life from him saying, yeah, you can come over, and then calling the cops and going, she's trespassing, she's stalking me, misusing the, like, intimidating her with law enforcement that maybe were his friends. He would file family law actions and drop them, send her cease and desist letters, it seemed like, threaten her with lawyers, stealing her identity, controlling her Facebook, making her take medicine that she wasn't prescribed, denying medical treatment when she was injured, as well as like the spiritual abuse of being in a church, but also job abuse. Apparently, he would randomly get mad at her and fire her from the church so she would have to go work at J. Peters. Because you go, oh, she's like the worship minister and like the first lady of this multi-million dollar church that has like over $5 million of assets. It has a plane. It has untold numbers of cars. Why is the lead woman working at a restaurant? And it's like, oh, because her husband would randomly go, you're fired. So things like that where you control their money. You, I mean, just every aspect of her life is horrible.
Yeah, he had his claws in every single part of it, and it all sucked. On October 8th, 2023, Micah filed for divorce. She went to stay with her sisters for a while. Snapchat messages between her sister Sierra and JP from around that time show that he was not happy with the arrangement. He threatened suicide in texts to Micah, released by Sierra. They read in part,
"My blood is on you and my kids will know. All you had to do was come home to me, but you don't even care that much about me. All you had to do was love me enough to drive home to me, but you don't even care that much about me. I love you. I'm sorry. If you come home today, we can take off the rest of the year and go to counseling every day. Go to Iceland. Do whatever in order to get well. I also desperately want a child with you. I'm just scared of this. This is the only reason I wouldn't. I'm scared of divorce or putting the child through things like this where you leave me and aren't willing to do whatever it takes."
Well, that's a lot to unpack. And to that, I would say, like, leave me the fuck out of this.
Yeah, go melt down
somewhere. Do everybody a favor. And just get, you know, there's so much gaslighting and blame put here. And then introducing, like, you can see the manicness in this of first it starts out, he's threatening suicide, and then within a beat, it switches to, I want to have a kid with you, but we can't because you're the one that's not going to, you know, we can't raise a kid because you're not willing to love me enough. Okay, yeah, let's go to Iceland. It's so all over the place.
Every message from him is desperate, freakish. It's like, I can't sleep alone. You're not here. I'm so alone. Like,
and you're like, no, you're not. You're hiring a sex worker to come over and have sex with you, or you're abusing and having sexual relations with somebody else from the church. Rarely are you alone.
Yeah.
You just, I'm not there. And so you're flipping out that you don't have control over me right this second, and you're doing anything you can to pull me back in.
Yeah, I think was struggling and scrambling because I think late 2023, it looked like she was for real. Like she was finally ready.
And I'm sure could sense a change in the situation, you know, could tell like, oh yeah, she's finally fed the fuck up. So he dialed it up even more. JP secretly transferred ownership of their house to his church in late December of 2023. In a voicemail that Micah allegedly left for JP in early February, she asks for a
paper trail
to be able to handle church finances if JP is ever incapacitated. Micah later told her brother Nate she had legal documents drawn up that would give Nathaniel the authority to make decisions for her well-being. Nate later said in an affidavit,
however, those documents were not located. The only legal documents discovered appointed Mr. Miller as her power of attorney. This is conjecture, but what I think happened is that they were apart sort of from October, November, December, January, February, and she was starting to see the writing of the wall on the wall and was like, hey, what's who's in charge? She literally said in the thing, I need to know the paper trail. Who's in charge if you're ever mentally unable or unfit to run the church? We've got a lot of assets, a lot of money to guard. This is not our money. It's God's money. Whose money was that before God? He put it in the pockets of people, and then those people gave it to us and entrusted us with God's money in God's house to do as God wishes. But I don't know who steers the boat anymore, and that concerns me. I'd like a paper trail. So, among other things, it was like a longer voicemail. So, she asked for legal documents, and then he gets an attorney to draw up legal documents that puts him in charge?
Wasn't he already her power of attorney?
Yeah, he already had that, yes. And I think she wanted power of attorney over him, and he did not have those. From what I have seen, those do not exist.
I think it sounds like she may have gotten some legal advice, mm-hmm. and just from the language used even within, to know about a paper trail and assets and stuff. Maybe she got some legal advice from someone that was like, well, this is the first step you need to do. And she tried as hard as she could to do that.
And I'll ask our listeners to look at the timing that she asked for a paper trail supposedly on February 6th.
From February 8th through 10th, Micah was again involuntarily committed to a psychiatric facility, with JP alleging she was a harm to herself. After she was released, Micah's sister Anna alleges that the check-in nurse later apologized for admitting Micah, claiming they only did so after JP insisted she was a danger to herself. 2 days after her release, on February 12th, Micah withdrew her October divorce filing. However, JP apparently still had control over her digital assets. Before she was hospitalized, Micah was gathering, quote, evidence to bring to a divorce attorney, which allegedly supported her claims of John Paul's abuse, character, and
associates he paid off or blackmailed,
according to her sister, Sierra. When Micah left the facility, those documents, emails, and files were removed from her phone and laptop. Additionally, her vehicle and purse were never recovered, per the affidavit. Micah was also reportedly not able to access her iCloud account, email, or Facebook profile. During that time, JP used at least one of Micah's accounts, causing any recipient to believe they were communicating with Micah.
Yeah, she apparently met up with, I believe she thought she was meeting with a different pastor at a Walmart to get some medication. And when she got there, it was an ambush. Yeah. JP snatched her. And then my thing is, he's just like, she's involuntarily committed. Look at her. She was in there for 2 days. What several folks have said, medical professionals in South Carolina and our listeners, I would love for you to write in if you have any knowledge of this, that it is fairly easy to call what they were calling pickup orders to say, hey, this person's a danger to themselves, and that this 48-hour hold is pretty standard for somebody that doesn't have anything going on that can be released that clearly isn't a danger. That had she really, truly been a danger, it would have been a week or 3 weeks or whatever. But for him to kind of go, oh, look at her. She's committed again. It's like you tricked her and had her put there.
Yeah, absolutely. On February 21st, Micah made a police complaint about a stolen vehicle after being discharged from the involuntary hospital stay. She met with police in the Coastal Grand Mall parking lot to report the theft of her car. She had been hospitalized between February 8th and February 10th and told officers she believed JP committed her to steal the vehicle. While making this report, Micah also told officers that JP groomed her as a teen. The suspect's identity is redacted in both reports, but Micah said she
noticed strange activity and what she believes is people following or watching her.
Micah also told officers that the suspect
has a history of similar actions against her And he later admitted, yes, he had GPS trackers put on her car. He had a private eye that he hired track her and put follow her and put trackers on her car. So again, she could look to the police like she's maybe a little crazy. There's people following me. No, her fucking husband hired people to follow her.
And instead of looking into that as abuse, they are taking his side of, well, I'm having to do it because she's unstable and I got to know where she is, or she could just, you know, do anything at any time. She could just kill herself. I don't know what she's capable of.
You're right. And Regina Ward said, you know, as the cops, they're going to go, this is a domestic thing. You got to go. You got to go call your family law attorney. This is kind of a domestic thing. And it's like, no, it's fucking not. It's stalking. And
yeah,
maybe more.
Oh, more than stalking. Yeah. I mean, full blown abuse of every kind.
Mm-hmm. Sinister Hood will be right back.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The couple entered into a post-nuptial agreement, according to Micah's attorney. A week later, JP attempted to turn the tables when he filed for separation from Micah on February 22nd. The separation action was dismissed by the court on March 12th. The day before the separation was dismissed, Micah had made the first of two more police reports after her second vehicle's tire was found slashed near Springmaid Pier, the report said. The second complaint, filed hours later, came after Micah took her vehicle to East Coast Honda on Highway 17 bypass to have the tire repaired. Video footage obtained by News Nation shows JP arriving at East Coast Honda, apparently wearing house slippers. He storms up and tells Micah that photos will be posted on Facebook soon. A distraught-sounding Micah asks him to just walk away. It is unclear what photos JP was referring to. However, JP uploaded at least one explicit photo of Micah to the internet for revenge. He later admitted to doing so in a text, apologizing.
Yeah, it's, you can hear the upset in her voice, and to have your husband, estranged husband, wander up in slippers when you again so haven't told him where you're at, that he put a huge razor blade in your tire. You go to your old job to get it fixed, and he shuffles up yelling about Facebook pictures.
Yes, and the picture he had put up on her was a topless picture of her, which he admitted in a text message that he did and said, well, it was only up for an hour. So, you know, and we're all about forgiveness. Bitch, go fuck yourself. An hour? You know how long it takes for somebody to look at something and take a screenshot and share it with people?
Exactly.
1 second.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes to everybody that thinks like, oh, I can just post something. I don't have that many friends. Not that many people are going to see it. It's just up for a minute. Once it's up, it is up.
Yes.
Forever. Somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, you cannot erase something from the internet.
No, like you said, it's untold amounts of saves that you can't even fathom how many people have saved it. And again, it's his attorney going, my client has never done anything abusive to this person. It's like, my dude, you are losing credibility. Shut up.
He should lose his law license.
Yeah, I'm like, phrase your shit clear because your client texted it. Don't make any large statements about JP Miller unless you've read every text he sent. Like, you can't just say that because you don't know that he apologized going, yeah, I did it.
During a sermon on March 10th, JP admitted that he looked through 2 years of messages on Micah's phone. He was irritated that at least 18 people had reached out to her, offering to talk if she ever wanted to leave JP. He claimed,
that's a demon talking.
And when Christian women want to talk to others about who has hurt them, they should talk to Jesus, according to the Post and Courier. And that's the Post and Courier reporting on him. I don't think the Post and Courier believes that about Christian women.
No.
But no, yeah, but- I mean, but that's the sermons that they were receiving. So, mm-hmm. you know, you've got a congregation that's being told what goes on behind closed doors is between a man and his wife. And if you want to talk about something, you should talk to your pastor, to Jesus. And also threatening the people who are amongst the congregation that he's like, by the way, I know that you have been talking to her and said mm-hmm. that you would help her. So now you're scared that he's going to come after you. And you know what he's capable of. Right. To a degree, you have no idea what he's really capable of, though.
Yeah, not yet. But no, you're right. Mm-hmm. Like, that's sort of an implicit thing of like, oh, you're one to text. Well, when I get my next wife, because he later said he wanted to get a hot wife who loves Jesus while still wearing his wedding ring. But the implication being, I will be doing what I'm going to be doing. And if you try to step in, you're a demon and I will extricate you. Like, yeah, it's also just, like I said, it's blatant that he says it into a microphone.
Yeah, it's a lot of spiritual abuse mm-hmm. amongst many other forms of abuse.
It makes me sort of think of Gwen Shamblin Lara, where it would mm-hmm. be like the abuse going on in her family would then get mirrored by people in the congregation.
Yeah, one of the parishioners said in an interview that you could tell when things were getting real bad because whatever was going on in his life, he would accuse others of doing and project it to the congregation. Mm-mm. So you kind of, like you said, he's going to hang himself because he's too fucking arrogant and stupid to realize like the things he says and texts and everything, like how damning they really are. And I think he thinks he's above God. So, you know, yeah. I mean, he could get away with anything.
Yeah. The kind of that smile he always has too of like, and it's like, that's hiding.
On that same day, Monday, March 11th, Micah filed a complaint and motion for restraining order against JP through the Surfside Beach Magistrate Court. The supporting affidavit showed a pattern of stalking from JP during their separation. Particularly, he would text her things like,
enjoy your oysters.
Or,
how was church?
Implying to her that he was watching her every move.
Yeah. He sent that to her when she was at a oyster party with her family, the church. He sent it right after she left a new church that she had thought she was safe going to this new place. She was so excited. She found these new friends and a new place to like get back on her relationship with God. And it's like, you can't even have that because you are being so viciously stalked by this man.
Whether it's he's there or he's just looking at your location, either mm-hmm. way, he's letting you know, I know where you are. Like you can't run. I'm wondering if you can somehow, and maybe you can you not block someone from knowing your location?
I believe he was able to track her at this point either through surveillance he had hired, because he did admit to mm-hmm. hiring a private eye, and or through trackers that he placed on her car, because I think her sister said she would often get new phones and have to get a new phone because he would take control over it. And so that's why we'll get to it, why the last phone she ever owned is the family vitally was saying it's very vital that they get a hold of it.
Micah took to social media on April 9th, sharing with followers a glimpse of her turmoil. Her post read,
when terrible, terrible, terrible things happen to you, y'all know what I'm talking about. RPF, resting peace face, hashtag still blessed, hashtag God is good.
Alongside the post, Micah shared a selfie of herself smiling. Weeks earlier, she had also posted a video online in which she referenced the nightmare she was living. In it, she touched on the religious and spiritual distress surrounding her abuse, saying,
God hates divorce, but why? It's because it hurts people. But does abuse hurt people? How do you think God feels about that? Her video. She just was trying to reach out to people.
Yeah, I mean, I think she wanted to reach out to people, but also I think she was documenting things in a mm-hmm. way that couldn't be deleted. I mean, we know that she had already contacted an attorney and was compiling a bunch of evidence. It sounds like that attorney may have been the one to say, you need a paper trail. And like, you mm-hmm. know, so, but also documenting things. So there's just more proof of what was going on when it all comes out. She, and I also think that she knew that her time was limited because he had threatened to kill her so many times. And she had told many people that if something happens to me, I didn't do it. JP did it.
Mm-hmm. And she put hashtag abuse awareness on that and said, please share with anyone struggling. And I think you're right, saying like, I know firsthand. And it's like, well, we all know who you've been married to. Oh, you know, yeah, like yeah. Everybody. Yeah. So it was sort of this like, I'm going to go public with it and do this out loud in front of everyone. And I did hear that she had difficulty finding an attorney willing to take her case because of JP's, you know, perceived power and influence. Mm.
Yeah, it's one of those things where everybody knows who she's been married to and maybe what's been going on. There's been like rumors and maybe even some like actual factual things, but this is her coming out being like, yep, the rumors were true. Like she didn't name names, but mm-hmm. like you said, everybody knows who she's married to. So it's very easy to put two and two together. And she's addressing the rumors and saying like, they're not just rumors. Terrible, terrible things have been happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she started going public. You're right. Someone messaged her and Facebook messages that were revealed. She said, I don't go to Solid Rock anymore. I'm getting divorced. It's for the best. She texts Charlotte, thank you for all of your advice. I'm finally leaving. It's for the best. She had definitely decided, I've got mm-hmm. the evidence. I know what I'm doing. I'm getting out of here and I'm going to make a new stand at this. She had gotten saved at her new church on March 31st. So kind of making a new, turning over a new leaf, it felt yeah. like.
On April 15th, Micah filed for separation from JP, with a hearing scheduled for June 5th. That next week, on Wednesday, April 25th, 2024, JP was served with divorce papers and a no-contact order from Micah. That week, she paid her divorce attorney's $5,000 retainer fee with funds she borrowed from a fellow church member. Micah was living with an 85-year-old former Solid Rock member named Diana in an apartment. According to Micah's sister, Anna, the week JP was served with divorce papers, Micah had also reported JP to the IRS.
Allegedly, one of her coworkers said, Micah mentioned, something weird's going on. We've gone through 5 accountants at the church in 2 years.
That's a lot.
And reporting to the IRS is a, if he caught wind of that, I imagine oh, yeah. that would be pretty horrifying for him, just depending on what you're doing behind closed doors.
Yes. And another reason for him to be enraged. After being served with divorce papers, JP delivered his usual sermon on Sunday, April 28th. In it, he asked the congregation to read a slide from the pulpit. He then said, with a laugh and a grin,
all I hear is women the whole time. Women do talk a lot.
A comment that elicited laughs from the audience. Throughout the sermon, JP had a happy demeanor with what one internet commenter called
a pep in his step.
At the end of his message, Pastor JP told the congregation he had an announcement. He quieted his voice before saying,
we're not going to do an altar call today. Instead, I'm going to have you stand up and I'm going to make an announcement. And after the announcement, I'm going to ask that you leave church quietly and don't talk about the announcement here in the building, please. So can y'all stand to your feet before I make the announcement? I also want to say that my request to you is that you will continue to come to church and serve and give, you know, for the next little bit, because I don't want to have to. I'm taking a little bit of a break and I don't want to have to worry about the church. My break may be a few days, a few weeks. I don't know.
He then launched into the news about Micah.
I got a call last night. My wife has passed away. Yeah. Yeah. It was self-induced. And it was up in North Carolina. And we're going to have a funeral for her here next Sunday at 3 p.m. And so it's all I can. Yeah. I'm just kind of going on adrenaline right now. So y'all pray for me and my kids and everybody. And she was, y'all know she wasn't well mentally and that she needed her medicine and that was hard to get to her.
The strange way he delivered the shocking news caused an internet uproar, and soon, details about Micah's death would be revealed, causing for her family and the world more questions than answers. This was the first time I was introduced to this case, was seeing a TikTok of this sermon.
As so many of us were.
I was flabbergasted that this was happening in real life and not in a movie. The casualness the just every day, like everything's fine, ha ha ha. And then like, I'm going to take 5 minutes to talk about how my wife died last night. Like I didn't even have, I was like, there's no way this guy didn't do it. This is insane. Like, and this is recorded. And he like said this, he said this on purpose.
Yeah. Like I said, it's like he thinks he's smart, but he's so fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Like he's like, it's like unfathomable for me how stupid John Paul Miller is. He's one of the dumbest person, the people I've ever come across, like full stop, period. Like, but whenever a stupid, it's like, you know, you give a monkey a chainsaw, it's a monkey still, but it's got a chainsaw. I mean, he's been given money and power, and it may be that you're stupid, but you are vicious. And so to see him,
he's stupid, but he's very dangerous.
Extremely dangerous, extremely dangerous. And especially you see, I think, the sense of, I am untouchable because I'm still going to do my sermon. Let me do my sermon. We'll give you all the timeline in part two. But the tone with which I read his initial quote of like, oh, women just be talking, am I right? Oh. That is like precisely the tone he takes at the first half of the sermon. He's fine. He's laughing. His arms, his body. If the body language expert on Banfield was just like, oh my God, like you could just see, they were just like, this is not how a grieving person behaves whatsoever. None of the facial movements are there that would indicate someone's actually grieving. His physical body language, his arms are far away from his body. The tone of his voice that he's using in this one is very like flat, like he's trying to have no tone. We'll talk about his tones of voice later on, but it is extremely chilling to watch the juxtaposition between like at the beginning to like, I just have a quick thing to say. Could you all continue to please continue to attend the church? Could you please continue to tithe? I just want to let you know my wife died last night. Anyways, we're gonna have a party next Thursday or next Sunday at 3.
Also, you're not allowed to talk about it. Like,
don't talk
I
about
can
it.
Talk about whatever the fuck I want. You're telling me that my friend,
mm-hmm,
a member of my congregation has died and I'm not allowed to talk about it? Like, it's
leader
so
of the congregation. Yeah.
No. And also to have been in the congregation and to have seen how he was acting at first and then be like, that whole time he knew.
Yes.
Like, he's to us, like, we had no idea. He didn't act any different at all.
No, he's just telling this regular sermon. And in fact, at the beginning, he's like, this is the longest series of sermons I've ever preached. Like, completely unrelated. It's chaotic to watch. It's so unnerving and disturbing to watch.
Chilling is a good word for it.
It shouldn't, like, surprise any of us that they deleted it from their YouTube channel, the Solid Rock YouTube channel. However, there are several people have clips. It's on TikTok, but a really good one, and we've linked it in the show notes already under video resources, is a church watcher who's a person who's an expert in coercive controls in churches and cults, going through like 2-minute chunks and going, the language he's used here, this is how it fits with a cult leader. The language, this is how it fits with an abuser. This is how it fits with a cult leader. And commentary on it. So it is fair use. But then in between their commentary, you can watch for yourself. And it is
it's shocking.
Chilling. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyone with information regarding this case is asked to contact the FBI through your local field office. Micah's attorney, Regina Ward, is working with the family and accepting tips via her law office. You can send them via email to justiceformicahtips@gmail.com. There is a GoFundMe to support the Francis family's legal efforts. We have included a link in our show notes via the episode description.
I believe they just recently also got the domain justiceformicah.com to kind of make it easy for everyone as well.
So what do we think?
Part two is forthcoming because there is the severe extensiveness of the abuse. We haven't even described all of it yet because there's even more receipts that we couldn't even fit into this. But I think you're right when you said up top, it shows the various failings in different systems, the police system, religious systems, not having any checks on these. And what happens when you have unchecked wealth and power? And not that it was like great amounts of wealth, his dad, but you know, you have this unchecked religious power and he sees, oh, well, dad gets away with all this shit. You know, he got off on these federal charges, these state charges, you know, he can run rampant and molest whoever he wants. I can too. And that's what we're seeing now with these allegations. So I believe it is going to be a Murdoch situation and that this is a one thread that we've all begun to pull. And you'll definitely see in part two that things have not lined up with the death investigation. But as far as what we've covered just in part one, I think these were multiple things we've talked about today. I think the statute of limitations has not run and will come back to bite him shortly.
Yeah, I imagine that some victims are going to come forward. Maybe they couldn't before, and this will propel them to. I think that a lot more is going to come out about his dad and probably stuff about him and Micah, too. I mean, she turned over 11 journals to mm-hmm. her attorney that were diaries documenting the abuse, how she felt about it, dealing with the church and stuff, because she wasn't just having emotional and physical abuse. There was this whole spiritual element to mm-hmm. to it as well that, I mean, she was a very devoted Christian. She had been her whole life. So for that to then be used against you in the worst way possible, and I mean, there's some stuff that we haven't even touched on, like him forcing her to have sex with people while he watches, and then, you know, using his power as a pastor and her husband to say that all of this should be right. You know, yeah. Like, don't argue with your husband. Don't argue with me. This is what I want. These are my needs. And your job is to help me fulfill my needs, despite if you want to or not. So I'm going to make you have sex with someone that I've hired while I just stand over in the corner. And it's just, it makes me so sick to my stomach and just so sad to think that, like I said, half of her life was spent under this asshole's thumb. Like, from 14 to 30, she yeah. was being abused by this man. And so many people and systems failed her along the way and failed so many others too, because she wasn't the only victim. Mm-mm. You know, I mean, she is the one that unfortunately lost her life. And so that's why this case is coming up, which is bringing up all these other transgressions. And like I said, what we do in the dark eventually comes out in the light, and all of the shit that he's done. I mean, what is he, 40, 44? He was born yeah. in 1980. He's my age.
Yeah.
The shit he's done is all going to come out. In one way, I have some predictions, but they're probably not appropriate. So
for the air. But, I mean, we'll see what happens. But you're right.
I wonder if he's going to make it to a trial.
I doubt that. I mean, it's sad to say it, but if it's the significant amount of evidence against him, or are you so Alec Murdoch-ish, you're so cocky and pompous mm-hmm. of, I got a hold of this, you're never going to pin it on me, and even if you do, I'm going to fight it and say, you know.
But even Alec Murdoch tried to off himself, allegedly, did he?
Supposedly.
Or right? His cousin did and missed. Who knows what that was all about. But his father has written like a fucking 100-page ridiculous novel about his
pedophile.
Innocence.
No one cares what you have to say.
Yeah, he's definitely in his son's corner, but I probably would be too if I knew that I had abused my kid for his whole life and others, and he had a lot of dirt on me. Or you yeah. also are like, I don't see anything wrong with what he did. I've been doing it my whole life.
Right. It's like, she's got to listen, man. And if she doesn't, you got to make her listen however you mm-hmm. have to. Yeah. His 900-word rambling message to the Daily Mail was embarrassing. We'll get into that in the next time. But insofar as people that have come out on both sides, a significant amount of people have come out in support of the allegations Micah made in affidavits, like to her attorney, saying she was emotionally, sexually, spiritually, financially, and physically abused. And the evidence, the significant amount of evidence that her attorney has been entrusted with, her sisters have been entrusted with. And then on the other side, you have to just have JP going, no. And it's just yeah. not holding up. It's just, and then his dad going, no. And it's just, so based upon that alone, your gut kind of tells you what's going on, but we'll see how it unfolds, including whatever's going to unfold next week. JP promised last week that all of it's going to come out. I have all the evidence, and it has not. So we're still waiting, bud. I'm looking at my watch. I'm watching my watch, and If you have anything to say to us, just write it on a piece of paper and crumple it up and then shove it directly up your ass, because I don't want to hear from you and I don't care.
No, we'll also talk in the next episode about how he went live on TikTok via another creator's account, via another person approaching him in his driveway in the middle of the night. It was so unhinged. Complete speculation, but I also think that there's substance abuse that has been going on this entire time too, which I think would account for a lot of the manic text and being able to text 100 people in 5 minutes or whatever. And also, watch the TikTok live of what he looks like when he's talking, and he doesn't look like he's sober, in my opinion.
Yeah, in my opinion, he looks like he is on something. And someone in the comments literally said, can anyone see his eyeballs? what do his irises look like?
He also, at one point during his ministry years, had to come clean to the congregation about doing drugs at Disney World. So, like, there have been times where he'll, like, give a little bit of, like, yeah, you're right, I did that. Well, for every time he admits it, how many mm-hmm. times did he not admit it, or is it not even known yet?
No, you're right. And in that, and I think a lot of times things that he says or accuses other people of are perhaps him telling on himself.
Yes, for sure.
Or making those. And in her affidavit, Micah said that he texted her friends and family saying that she was sleeping with teenagers from the church. In which case, I would say, if you or anyone you know has gone to Solid Rock Church as a youth and you have been molested by J.P. Miller, send an email to justiceformicahtips@gmail.com, because I bet her attorney and the FBI would love to know about that.
Family.
And her family, and you are not alone. And he has no power anymore. He's donezo, guys. He's donezo. Someone said they felt really bad because he hasn't been arrested yet. And I was like, it took like 18 months to arrest Alec Murdoch, and it was completely worth it. So,
and all he did in that time was make things worse for himself and stack up more charges.
So, do more crimes. So JP's probably going to do more shit. And we'll see him on a Court TV live stream in about 18 months, is my guess.
If he makes it.
Again. Godspeed.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
That was a sarcastic Godspeed.
I hope that he does go to trial, because yes, I want him to have to stand trial for everything he's done and look her family in the eyes, as well as the victims and the victims' families. And I don't want him to just be able to peace out and mm-hmm. not have to answer for stuff. But I'm just saying, it would not surprise me if that's the route he took,
given the significant amount of evidence against him, yeah, certainly.
And yeah, the threats that he has made countless times.
A billion times.
So, you know, we'll see. But we will bring you more in part two of this case so far next week. If you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next, or dive into over 900 hours of content like Dear Sinister, True Crime Headlines, Heather's Saves, Judge Christie. We got so many segments and bits that we do over on Patreon, and we rotate them. So every week we try and mix it up, so it's always keeping it fresh.
And if you join for free just to see what we're up to next, it doesn't cost anything. And once a month, you get one of those weekly segments released to you. Or if you want to check out all the weekly segments, you can do a free trial for a week. You can be a free member for as long as you want, but free trial is a week to just binge whatever you want and cancel before it's over without getting charged. You can check out ad-free episodes, monthly live streams, our quarterly bonus contents, those weekly audios, monthly minisodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole entire internet.
And for recent patrons, thank you so much for supporting the show, and make sure you stick around after our sign-offs to hear your shout-out.
Head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos. We have the cutest designs and some stuff on clearance, and don't forget to use your Patreon merch discount at checkout.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show. We make it super simple to do that. Follow us on socials and check out the episode description for sources used during our research. You'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists and links to all those live show tickets for the Full Moon Energy Tour.
We'll see you tonight, Raleigh.
You can follow us. Oh, man. Was Raleigh the place last time that got so crazy that I was like fearful?
Yeah, Raleigh got wild because we brought up the NC State versus UNC fishing rivalry.
Also backing into a parking spot versus pulling in. was a house divided.
Paris has never been to Raleigh to face the angry mobs who say, do not back in. And my husband is a 100% backer, so he might not make it back. So y'all be kind.
He might stay at the hotel for that show.
Yeah, stay at home. Oh, you can follow us on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Check out video versions of the show early and ad-free on Patreon and check them out a few days later on YouTube. We also have clips over on our TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast. And order some fun custom video shout outs on Cameo. My dream came true. Thank you very much, Amber, for letting me dance as Horsehead Ladybody on your wonderful Cameo. And if you want a custom video shout out featuring Horsehead Ladybody, McGruff, the Corn Skull, whatever you want, go order that at cameo.com/sinisterhood. Where are you at on the internet, Christy?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on that internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for supporting the show on Patreon. Here are your special Patreon shoutouts. Turner Pierce.
Katarina Dukes-Maleska.
Diana Rojas.
Angela Bosenbark.
Hadley Witzel.
Laura Colodonato.
Valencia Nix.
Leah Boss.
Emily.
Trinity.
Elizabeth Gunaka.
Brooke Avery Overdwin.
Jen Brooks.
Amanda Roy.
Steffi Stardust.
Aaron Hall.
Maria Gomez.
Sarah Atlas.
And Gina Erickson.
Thank you all so much for supporting the show. We could not do this without you. We hope you pronounced all your names correctly. We even looked one of them up on Google Translate just to help us out. So we hope that we got that right.
Just for you.
But thank you so much. We love each and every one of you. Stay safe, stay healthy, and keep it creepy.
Sinister.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.